It's the Two Smokes Podcast with your hosts, Thundersnow and the Wiggle Rat. Every movie that's ever had Tony Hawk in it. Tony Hawk was in Gleaming the Cube. He was in Lords of Dogtown. Yeah.
I'm leaving that in there. Hi, welcome back to Two Smokes Podcast. I am the Wiggle Rat. Across me is apparently the big Tony Hawk and Christian Slater fan, Thundersnow. And just before tonight's segment started, we were debating about whether or not Christian Slater is actually qualified to perform a legotomy on an Egyptian artifact like he did in Tales from the Dark Side. But instead, what we're going to talk about is, as we continue through this this trek on epistemology and how we know what we know and how verifiable our sources of information, we wanted to go ahead and take a look at what's probably going to be one of our more political shows and certainly one of our more current event tangential shows. We have to look at protests and what the cost of sincerity really means right now in the world that we live in, right?
Assuming that you believe that sincerity exists.
Again, I don't know. But there are certain things that we need to look at and we need to discuss because I think it's a bigger problem than people really understand. So,
but is it bigger than a baby's arm?
I don't know.
It's going to be Heather's quotes all night, dude.
I think this is where I'm supposed to say talk hard or something.
Talk hard. I'm gleaming the cube.
Jesus.
Which is kind of like Romancing the Stone, but not quite. We should probably start over.
Oh, no, bitch. Oh, no, bitch.
2 weeks off got me like, dude, we're going to have some fun.
Dude, no. You did this to me. Wallow in it, bitch. Wallow in it.
You're soaking in it. Oh, there's that Rona cough. All right.
Oh, yeah. Fucking A. Bring it on there. Think I'd do those graphs just to see myself talk? Wait, what? So, let's start out, as one of the things we've been doing in epistemology, or in this epistemological season, is we've been looking at the definitions of things and what that means. Not just the letter of the definition, but the actual functional contemporary interpretation of the definition.
Did you say functional?
Functional.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
So, what is a protest, right? Protest, like a march or a sit-in, by example. But it's one of your First Amendment rights that is protected, your freedom to assemble. Because that assembly isn't just so that you can go to church. It's so that you can assemble and petition your government for redress.
We have issues. We need to talk.
Well, yeah.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah. Me and the rest of the fellas, we got together, and we're going to have to talk about this. Now, what it is, it's essentially a visible display of popular opinion, right? It's bandwagon theory, right? Much like in marketing where they'll go, wow, Brand X is great and everybody's using Brand X. Don't you want to use Brand X too?
Yes, you do. Go buy Brand X right now.
Don't you want your eyebrows to be fastidiously neat and well-combed?
Yes.
Yes.
You didn't know it until right now, but...
So, why do we protest, right? What's the purpose of a protest? Well, the purpose of the protest is, one, to draw attention to a cause. Not so much to let your government know, but to let your peer group know, and even your non-peer group, your out-group, as they say. Hey, look, man, this is something that me and all of these people with me think is an important thing.
Right.
And that's why we're out here demonstrating, look, read my sign. Educate yourself by reading my sign.
Oh, yes, because my poorly worded, often misspelled signs are, let's face it, these days, half the signs in these protests are written for the later memes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can see where they're basically mad-libbed out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Granted, nothing in the world beats Kevin Smith's glitter sign protesting his own movie.
I'm telling you, dude, one day that guy is going to grow on you.
If that dude grows on me, I will get disinfected, and that will take care of it.
Dude, I'm telling you, Mallrats 2 is going to come out next summer. It's going to be the fucking bomb.
Because just like Phantoms?
Because who doesn't want to see a bunch of 40-year-old guys bebopping through the mall? God. And Lord knows Jeremy London could use the work.
Going to like World of Crocs for their shoes.
Oh, dude, Shannon Doherty could get she could have another movie role. Dude, now I'm going to see it just so Shannon Doherty could get some work.
Dude, nobody needs that. Nobody needs to see Shannon Doherty do anything.
And you notice that I glossed right over you defaming the fucking Crocs. The Crocs are the way in the light, bitch. You know that store that I was trying to get you to go into while we were in Manhattan got looted, right?
Yes.
I was so pissed.
Well, dude, once you're named like the Pope of Croc Catholicism, I'll go ahead and maybe your opinion will have a little sway, but probably not.
Oh, yeah, it's epistemology. Yeah, we should probably pay attention to those things.
Okay, so not only is a protest a way to let other people know, but it's also a way to let leadership know how you feel, right? It's so that you can broadcast to your government electives, your government elected, that hey, look, this is how we feel. This is our thing. So you're not just communicating with the people who don't necessarily make decisions but may have a vote. You're also letting the guys know who actually make decisions, right? So they can look out their window. This is why so many protests happened in D.C.
Right.
Hey, look, we're angry about this thing. This thing should change. No. Don't change that thing. We want it kept just the same.
Right.
And it's also so, you know, like I said, we'll know how those protesters feel and what they're about. And so we'll have, like I said, a sort of rough idea, you know, about how many people agree with this idea.
Right. Well, and the problem with that has always been that the from my perspective, the foundation of protesting is that there are a lot of people out there that would join our cause if only they were aware of it. So trying to go out and do that groundswell and pick up people to, you know, to get win more people to your side. And that might have been valid in the days when there really weren't a lot of ways to get information out to a lot of people, right?
You know, absolutely.
During, you know, the war protests and things like that, when it was get an article in the paper, maybe get a 13-second soundbite, you know, on the nightly news, you know, for the 30 minutes that it was on every 24 hours.
Right.
Those kinds of things. But at this point, it's really become more of a, if I can get more than you, I'm right.
Well, and that's kind of the deal, because this is also an idea, and we'll talk more about this later, but this is also an idea that translates very, very quickly and very, very readily into social media.
Right.
I get more retweets than you. I have more, say, citable sources, no matter how dubious they may,
right.
They may be.
John Stamos and Richard Marx retweeted my tweet. As a result, I automatically have more clout than you.
John Stamos and Richard Marx retweeted my tweet on macroeconomic theory, therefore I must be right.
Exactly.
No.
You know, John Stamos, the George Bernard Shaw of Full House. Although I will give Richard Marx credit, he's funnier than shit on Twitter.
I don't follow him on Twitter. I've made it my lifelong mission to stop following blue checks.
Oh, you know what? I had to. He showed up in some stupid diatribe against the fucking pumpkin, and I clicked on his name. I didn't follow him. I clicked on his name, and I started reading some of the tweets. And his own personal responses to people that make Richard Marx jokes on Twitter is fan-fucking-tastic. Imagine Rick Astley spending at least 2 hours every day going through the internet and fucking judo blocking Rick Rolls. It's fantastic.
Dude, no, what was it he said? What was it Richard Marx said to that one guy? Dude, it's not like you've been doing, or it's not like you've been doing anything with your life since the 80s. He's like, yeah, I've probably been fucking the girl you lost your virginity to when you were listening to my music.
Yeah.
That was, which, probably not factually accurate, but it is at least amusing.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, that's the kind of the right. You pay for this celebrity, right? And the blue check thing to me is, you know, because the blue checks were created. Let's face it, the blue checks were created for celebrities.
Oh yeah,
to make sure that the celebrities are who they say they are. They kind of became this sign of, well, that guy's not famous. I don't know him from any TV shows, but he's got a PhD and a blue check. So does that make him smarter or less smart than the other people that are posting shit?
See, given that most of the PhDs I see on Twitter are people, A, who are obviously lying because they're phenomenally incompetent at what they do.
Well, remember, dude, for every PhD track you can find, there's a D student.
Oh, yeah, somebody graduated at the bottom of their fucking right. class.
And that person is probably not going to be lighting the world on fire.
Nobody can light Twitter on fire.
And they still have a PhD.
And they still,
yeah. I, you know, if I ever get mine, it'll solely be so that I can go around and make fun of PhDs. I'm just petty enough that someday I might go even deeper into debt to get a PhD to dogpile and troll PhDs. But when I do, I will gather all of the people like me together in the city center, and we will hold up witty signs.
That say, we are your intellectual better.
Exactly. Whatever. I mean, I'm sure we'll have to get something a little bit better than that to really spice it up. You know, what would the chant be? You know, instead of no justice, no peace, oh, I don't know. Nothing's coming to mind. It was one of those gambles, right? I took a bet that I could come up with something before I got to that spot, and it failed. Maybe that's why I don't have a PhD.
All set up, no punchline. Exactly. Your PhD, that's your punchline, bro. But no, so we talk about these protests and how important it is, and we have to look back historically real quick, and we have to go, do they work? You know, for all the shit that we see, because one of the things we've seen in our recent civil unrest is that the original point of this, which was, hey, you know, could we get the cops to stop killing people that they're just supposed to be arresting?
Right, please. Yeah. I mean, just, you know.
To now, it's like, well, we're not going to let a white guy be a black guy in a cartoon anymore.
Right.
But what about the cops? We changed the syrup label. The syrup label no longer has a black lady on it. Wait, no, the cops. Oh, no, we took off those episodes of Golden Girls. Wait, the cops.
Well, now still complaining. We went from Black Lives Matter to Black Trans Lives Matter.
And, BLT, a Black Lesbian in Transition.
Well, yeah, I mean, so the thing is, you could make an argument that whether or not it's successful, right? If you get a lot of people out, is that success? You know what? 40 years ago, when you had to hand out flyers on the corner and try to get the DJ to read a little blurb on the radio to get people out there, then you know what? Yeah, collecting a couple hundred people in the city park, that's success all in itself. Just getting the people there. These days, you can swipe your credit card and have 50 B-list celebrities show up holding signs in about 20 minutes. So I don't know that if the size of the crowd generally means successful anymore.
Again, I'm convinced that if you have $100 and her lunch hour is free, Rose McGowan will fucking lead your protest.
Dude, there is a site. I forget what the name of it is, but there is a site where you can literally go in there and pay $25 to have Tom Arnold shoot a 30-second video telling your best friend happy birthday. Literally, it's like Fiverr for celebrities to make side hustle money.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You know, I you can hire Bill O'Reilly to give a YouTube video message firing that guy you want to get rid of in the office.
God.
So, I mean, those things exist. But at the end of the day, I don't think that you can judge by the size. You also can't judge by the immediate impact, right? I mean, the burnouts and the stoners have been fucking bitching for 30 years about weed.
Oh, dude, 30 years doesn't even begin to cover it.
So, okay, well, in my lifetime, they've been bitching for 30 years about it.
Probably closer to 60.
But, so, were those guys in the 50, in the 60s and 70s successful?
Successful?
Given current events, if it changes today, it can cancel what happened 70 years ago. So, can success kind of lift up and promote the fact that those 70-year-old people were right?
Well, and that's something else that we have to look at, right? So, like, for example, one of the things we do in Houston every year, I don't know what your city does in your area, but Houston has a fairly large gay pride parade every year. Okay, now, you can make your argument that that was a protest march in favor of gay rights. And you can make your argument that, no, that's really just a parade with really festive people in cars.
Right. Well, if gay pride is people trying to bring attention to the LGBTQ agenda.
Right.
What is the Puerto Rican Day Parade for?
My guess would be Puerto Rican. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it the Puerto Rican agenda? Are those people out there drinking and hollering because they want Puerto Rico to get statehood? Or
well, maybe that's just a way of saying, hey, look, you know,
we're celebrating heritage. Maybe we're celebrating commonality.
Heritage, commonality. Or, again, in the context of the conversation we're having now, political presence. Hey, don't fuck with Puerto Rican people. We have a vote.
We're here. There's beer. Get used to it. See, sometimes you start out and it's there when you reach for it. Other times you reach for it and you're just grabbing air.
But no, a lot of these, the Million Man March, for example, right, was a really big deal. And politically, just utterly ineffective.
Right. Well, look how many of us there are. We've had a census for a long, long time. We know how many of you there are. Look how many of you showed up today. Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Exactly 700,000, less than a million men, but still 20 times more than what were there for Trump's inauguration.
But no, Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
Allegedly a big deal, but didn't really get anything done.
Not a bang, a whimper.
However, the Vietnam protests, over a long enough time, and through some arguably dubious means, like the Weather Underground,
right,
actually did get things done. The civil rights protests, on a long enough timeline, got things done.
I think that you'd find lots of pushback on that argument today just because of the flare-up and the sensitivities, right? But I don't know. The problem I have, this is going to sound awful, so just bear with me for a second before you judge me harshly. Looking back at some of those examples you gave, right, the Weather Underground and the kids lining up at the Washington Monument and across the mall protesting the war, the Freedom Riders, all this stuff, it just seemed to have, and I wasn't there for any of it, you know?
Right.
So I learned it as history. I watched it as dramatizations of it.
Right.
It seemed to have just a little bit more sense of decorum and a sense of weight to it than what we're seeing today.
I don't really get that.
Well, there's just so much co-opting, right? There's so much, well, are you here for the Black Lives Matter protest? Well, no, I'm here for the free student loan, you know, forgive student loan debt. Well, I'm here for the LGBTQ, and I'm here for the, forget the LGs and Bs, I'm just here for the Ts and the Qs. And there's 17 different sets of people in the same area.
Fuck you, we're the People's Judean Front.
Exactly.
Because you knew there was going to be a Monty Python reference.
There had to be. There had to be something. But no, I mean, that's the thing. It lacks a certain gravitas because there's just no. There's no. I saw a tweet the other day that had a picture of, and I'm sorry, I should have done a little more research to write the names down.
I knew you wouldn't.
The black trans woman that started the. Dang it, the wall.
Which wall?
Okay. There was a very old protest. This woman was a black trans minister.
Okay.
Who had put together what was some of the first pride-related get-togethers.
Okay.
And she blasted out this tweet that had a bunch of civil rights leaders of all colors.
Okay.
That were kind of transposed over footage of the most recent Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd protests and all of those things. And what was notoriously missing from the current event stuff was there was no actual leader.
Right, just sort of this amorphous mob.
Exactly. Here's a group of people. Now, albeit, you know, they keep putting an emphasis on how it's all races and colors and creeds. And that's true. It was true in Selma as well. It was true in Montgomery. It was true in those places as well. Maybe not to the same degree. But you have to admit, those people in Alabama back in the day had a whole lot more skin in the game than the kid who showed up with his headphones on, listening to his favorite Spotify playlist while he picked up bottles and threw them at shit.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a bit of, and I realize that some of it's my perspective, right. But there's the perfect example. The influencers from Instagram showing up and taking selfies in their riot clothes.
So, let's go ahead and get to that. Oh, and wait, before we switch off this, right, before we move into the next phase of the show here, in the next segment of the show, let's talk real quick. Where was that place with the guys with the racists with the tiki torches and the fashy haircuts? We did a whole show about it.
Was it Virginia Tech or Carolina? It was in North Carolina. Or,
I think it was Charlotte. Charlotte. Was it Charlotte? Yeah. Okay, so that is another example of a protest that was an utter failure. And we called it then. We told it, no, this is literally the sign of a movement that's dying out. This is the right. death rattle of a movement. And sure enough, here we are 2 years later.
But even that was a co-opting of the movement, right? A lot of those kids, they might have shared some ideology with the people that they were claiming to be part of.
Right.
But let's face it, these were upper middle class white kids that were looking for something to be pissed off about. These were not jackbooted thugs that were out curb stomping people.
Right.
These were preppy assholes with tiki torches. They might have been racist preppy assholes with tiki torches, but that's about as hard as they went.
Fair enough. So, now, but we have established what protests are, and we have established that they can influence public policy.
Certainly. To a very small degree, but...
So, if it can influence public policy, then it seems like it would work best if it were representative in some way of that public.
I don't even know that such a thing is possible anymore.
And that's what we have to talk about. Because we have to talk about who shows up to a protest and whether or not a protest needs to be a fairly honest or sincere representation of what's going on. So, since we need to kind of nail down what an honest protest would be...
Let's try to figure one out.
Yeah, let's try to figure one out. And essentially what you want is you want a rough ballpark estimate, right, of how many people truly, deeply, sincerely believe the cause behind the signs they're marching with, okay? So, much like in... So, for example... If you were marching in a Vietnam War protest,
right,
and you know you were carrying a sign that said "No, get out of Vietnam," right, and there were 500,000 people, and they were all carrying signs of that nature,
right,
right, that is, I would say, a pretty convincing message.
Again, it's going to depend on who sees it, right? It's going to depend on kind of the tendencies of the person that sees it anyway, right? Oh, I'm up for election in this county that these people are marching in and ostensibly from.
Right.
It's probably going to have a little more impact than, you know, someone watching the nightly news going, oh, okay, 300 people got together and marched in a circle in a park.
Well, and this is one of the other things that protests do, is that not only do they help you communicate to your elected officials, it also helps you communicate to others who may also join in the protest.
Right.
Right? You know, I'm protesting for, you know, the liberation of all rutabagas.
Right.
And the fuck, I fucking love rutabagas. Set them bitches free. And then they come out and they will join your protest.
Sure.
One of the things we've seen in the recent civil unrest that we've had is that the protests have literally gone on for days.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
And that's continuing to go on even as we do this. And it's been a month.
Well, yeah, and it will go on in some form or factor for another month or two unless something else happens. You know, those Minneapolis cops get let go, it'll spin back up and go for a lot longer.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a lot worse, but that's going to have to be a different show.
Yeah, well, but so the thing is if you have a coherent message, even barring having a single charismatic leader that can kind of serve as the focal point.
Right.
If you at least have a coherent message, then certainly doubling or tripling or more the number of people that you've got around you while you're screaming that message will lend credence to the fact that there are people that want this thing to happen or to stop, depending on whatever you're protesting. That's certainly a thing. But if you have a muddled message, no clear leader, I don't really think that the number of people showing up to your event is really going to help, because there's nothing for them to support. It's like we're angry and we're frustrated and get used to it. Because without any, I mean, the whole thing, right? The the civil rights protesters, it was very clear what they were protesting.
Fair.
You know, the women's suffrage movement, the unionization of workers, and
the temperance movement,
all of these things. It was very clear. I mean, for God love them, even the stoners, they were on point. They had one message and they stuck to that sumbitch.
Weed.
Right. It's good for you. It's natural. It's whatever. They stayed on message the whole time, right?
And that's one of the things that... So we have to go ahead and we have to start... This is America, right? So it all comes down to you have to take at least a glancing look, at least a glancing look at money.
Right.
Especially because we live in the days and times that we live in. And we have to begin to ask ourselves, does paying protesters compromise their sincerity? Does it compromise the honesty, right, that right. you would see in a protest? And before you answer that, let's keep in mind that when unions go on strike, unions have funds, oftentimes. I don't know all unions.
Right, yeah, it's not going to get you well. It's not going to keep you whole, but it's going to edge you through.
I can tell you for a fact, both the picket lines I crossed to get jobs, because I'm that bastard.
Right.
those people who were actually on the line picketing, me specifically, right. they were picketing me.
The ones that were throwing shit at you.
Exactly. Those people got paid something.
It yeah, out of the union funds.
Right. Out of the union fund to get out there, carry that sign, that's your job today.
Right.
And that was, so those people were paid protesters, but they weren't like, this wasn't like their side hustle.
Sure. Yeah, they weren't going to other unions' protests to beef up the crowd.
Exactly. They weren't professional protesters. They were steel workers or night stalkers.
Right. Yeah, United Auto Workers or all of these
whatever,
things.
Whatever,
right.
yeah. And so they would go out there and they would carry their Stein, and instead of getting their, you know, their hourly wage, they would get for building cars or steelworking or whatever.
Yeah, they would get a little something to take home to make sure that there were some groceries.
Yeah, so right. they could eat and keep the lights on.
Right. Well, and that, I mean, that was the benefit of the unions at the time, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure ostensibly it's still the benefit of the unions today, if just not on the same scale.
So now let's go ahead and let's go ahead and look at this from the other side. What if it's somebody, say, oh... I don't know. Let's say it's someone who has no interest in the movement at all, mm-hmm. right? What if they just don't? They don't give a shit about your cause, right. regardless of what it is, whether it's Black Lives Matter or your union strike or abortion rights or whatever. And it's like, you know what? I'm not doing anything tonight, and it pays $50,
right?
Or 25 or whatever. And you know what? I don't have a car, so it's not like I can DoorDash for a living or Uber or whatever.
Right.
So
the new iPhone doesn't come out for 6 more months, so I can't get money to wait in line.
Exactly. So you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go here and I'm going to carry these signs to these people. Well, right. dude, do you actually care about abortion? Nah, I don't really care one way or another.
So here's the thing. There's going to be 9 million reasons why people show up to protests, right? Mm-hmm. Not all of them are going to be for the cause. You know, the number of save the ocean and save the whales and stuff that I went to when I was in high school simply to go look for a hustle, I went to a lot of those things. I could have given two shits.
Well, and let's face it, dude, back when I was a kid, I would have gone to a save the whales protest just because back then marine biology majors were just gorgeous and women bikinis. Don't you want to save the whales?
Yes, I do. Here's my number. Tell me all about it.
Listen, I save the whales every week, but this weekend you're in town, and I'm going to save you. The whales get plenty of love from me. I'm looking for a sleek-ass dolphin this weekend.
You a whole lot of woman, and you can call me Ahab.
I'm going to explore your blowhole.
Jesus.
Which is the name of my Courtney Love tribute band. I had to. It works every time.
That's fucking my Courtney Love tribute band. Explore the blowhole.
How people get there doesn't matter. For every single person that's there for a good reason, you will find people that are there for some completely opposite reason. Now, if they wouldn't be there if you weren't paying them, I don't necessarily think that it matters. There will be just as many people who are showing up because they're bored, without even any thought of payment. You know, the number of kids that got their ass beat in those Charlotte protests.
Right.
You know, because the preppy kids thought they were white supremacists and showed up and the actual neo-Nazis showed. you know, and they were interviewing people. What are you doing here? Ah, there wasn't a lot of shit going on, so I figured I'd come out here.
Well, yeah, and keep in mind, with our recent civil unrest, most of America has been under some level of lockdown.
Right. I'm going to get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah, because it turns out locking an entire country up and making them stay on the internet all day was bad for everybody. Well,
making them sit on the internet for 2 months without having any outlet and then forcing them to cover their faces when they go out in public, it really is only end in one way. You know,
and that was a D.L. Hughley joke. White people are so scared of coronavirus that now white people actually endorse the idea of black men wearing masks in convenience stores.
Yeah, well, Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday, there was a protest at Stone Mountain in Georgia.
Yeah.
Which is a fairly traditional KKK hangout.
I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah, they do a lot of like ceremonies and stuff there from what I was reading. But, like, 300 armed African-American guys showed up to protest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the guy that runs the park, like, look, they put in for their you know, their permit to do so. They're here. They're not acting like assholes. We're gold. But the rest of the people that saw them, I immediately flash back to the Chappelle joke that says, you know, we got to get out there in the street, and we got to line up, and we got to buy guns.
Yeah.
Because the voting thing doesn't work, but we can go buy guns, and all of a sudden, that will work. So the fact of the matter is there were people there because they felt like they were down with the cause. There were people there because it was a nice friggin' day.
Right.
There were people there that had no other opportunities to do anything because none of their family members would come out. The number of people that I've talked to that have made more friends in real life in the last 3 months as adults that they have in 20 years is amazing. So, you know, the personal aspect of getting out and socializing, it's just there. And let's face it, we've talked many times how anonymity gives you the license to act a fool. And I mean, a pair of sunglasses, a MAGA hat, and a fucking face mask, and I can do whatever the hell I want.
And that's, yeah.
Now, I mean, they have been outing some of these people from these protests based on like body art and stuff like that. But, I mean, here's the thing. If you're throwing a Molotov cocktail, there's an incentive to try to figure out who you are. If you're walking around with a sign that says this penis party's got to go, they're probably not going to dig you up. Are you okay over there? Am I just funnier than usual?
I'm trying to metabolize everything you just said, and I got to be honest with you. I don't think I'm going to be able to metabolize Penis Party.
I tried to get you to watch PCU 15 years ago. You still haven't watched it. So therefore, you're not on the joke.
You know what? I'm proud to be out group. I'm proud to be out group.
You miss all the best shit.
But no, that's kind of the problem is that you have all of these other people that show up. You know, because remember, for the longest time in New York City, de Blasio was literally... de Blasio was cracking down on the Jews.
Right.
Right, while these Black Lives Matter protests went on. He's literally welding the locks shut on city parks in Jewish neighborhoods. Right? And this, which is where this joke started floating around the web. The reason why they stomp on that glass at a Jewish wedding is so that de Blasio will think it's a riot, not, God forbid, a religious service. Which I love that joke.
I love how every time you tell one of those jokes, you get all Mel Brooks at the end.
Yes. Because that's what I hear in my head. Every time I hear a Jewish joke, it's either told by Mel Brooks or Jackie Mason. Because damn it, pop culture raised me right. But no, one of the things that we have where it will muddle the message is this idea of this fracturization, this bifurcation.
Right.
Right, of these causes. Because one of the things that we've seen, there are a lot of African-American Marxists who've come out and said, yeah, we're Black Lives Matter, and we are absolutely Marxist.
Right.
Wait. Now Black Lives Matter is commies? Well, not all of them, right. But these ones are.
But this specific, let's call it a cell,
right.
for lack of a better word, right, while we're on that train. But, I mean, that's always been a thing, right? There's, if you can leverage it, right? So if... if selling your message means getting bodies behind it, right, then you're incentivized to get as many bodies as you can there, regardless of how you get them there.
Well, and let's talk that this has been a successful strategy. Arguably, the temperance we see, or not the temperance, the tolerance we see for marijuana came from the fact that that hippie movement kind of got blended in to that anti-Vietnam War protest.
Right.
And even to a certain extent with that civil rights protest, right? Those are movements that are happening at similar points in time, and the discrete bright line boundaries between those get a little confused.
Well, and back then they could get a little confusing. Today they don't really exist. You know, there's been a lot of people talking about, you know, for civil rights, what the black folks need to do is get on board with the gays, because the gays have made such great strides in the last 20 years that, you know, because they're I forget who told the joke. I don't know if it was D.L. Hughley or one of those guys told a joke about, you know, we need to go to Panera wherever these gay guys sit down and plan, and we need to work with them because they're getting to where we want to be faster, and we've been doing it for longer.
Well, and
but if you look at the way that they way that movement has done it, that movement has leapfrogged a lot of things by glomming on to everything that comes along.
And also, in its own amalgamation, let's face it, it's gone from gay to lesbian gay to LGB to LGBT to LGBTQ.
And that, there's something new now, yeah.
I'm sorry. Don't get me wrong. Be nice to those people, but I literally can't keep up with everybody who's included.
Well, that's why Chappelle calls them the alphabet people.
Yeah, who?
Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
You know, those alphabet people. I'm okay with the L's and the G's. We get along just fine. But no, I mean, the thing is well, and honestly, to a lot of people who don't really have any insight into that culture or that movement, every time a letter gets added on, it kind of seems like progress, doesn't it?
I don't know.
You know, the L's and the G's have been at it for a long time, so that they had to go get the T's and the B's, and we just kept it rolling.
And everybody who just kind of snuck in there under the wire at the last
exactly.
minute.
Exactly, yeah. So we're in an election year, right? So my favorite litmus test for kind of getting a sounding from the youth is to see how MTV is advertising the vote. Started when we were kids, right? Rock the Vote, right. And all, you know, nothing like Ronnie James Dio going, "Hey man, make sure you get out there and vote." Or no, wait, he would have gone high pitch at the end.
Make sure you go and vote.
Exactly. I didn't want to do that for sake of your neighbors, but like a voting booth in the dark. But no, they started with that, and you know, then it moved on, and it kind of got more grassroots. MTV News came up. They started having town hall meetings.
Yeah.
The infamous "Do you wear boxers or briefs?" questions are trotted out, right?
Yeah.
Today, all the MTV stuff, it's an election year, and they're talking about voting, but their focus is transgender votes. There is an organization that is put together to help transgendered folks get ID that matches the gender that they prescribe to rather than the one that they were born to, and how it's important for them to be able to vote as the gender that they identify with. Now, from my perspective, it's kind of a very awkward, very small niche focus on trying to get people out to vote, but it's, you know, it's trying to get people to vote. So,
well, and
but that's where my answer was going to lie. When we talk about, is it disingenuous to pay people? You know, politicians have been arranging for bus service and car services to get people out to the polling places who don't have cars for 30, 40 years, easy.
Yeah.
You know, they've been giving out food and stuff like that to get people to the polling places.
Whatever it takes.
You know, hey, come out to the town hall meeting tonight. There's going to be drinks afterwards, and we're serving, you know, the local barbecue place and whatever. I mean, people have been doing that forever. So if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I know it's not a super empirical argument, but...
Well, no, and... Nor would I expect one from you.
You can suck it, too.
But my point is that being seen, getting that visibility, getting your tangentially related cause, right, for example, the black Marxists who have been marching in Black Lives Matter, them, you know, carrying that sign that says, you know, I don't know, whatever, capitalism is death. I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The point is that by them being in there and being seen with that large group, mm-hmm. is that also a way for them to generate revenue of and course. Donations?
Sure.
So are they really sincere protesters in that context? Are they really doing this as a function of, you know, some sort of let's reform the police, or this is no, tear the whole thing down, capitalism from the rooty to the tooty, that's got to go.
Dude, there are people that are out there with a sign for no other reason than to have somebody run in front of them and take a selfie with them with the sign and 3,000 people behind them.
And see, and then we got to talk about the virtue signalers, the influencers, and what, when I was a kid, we used to call the limousine liberals.
Right.
Right. You know, of course, when we did our... when we did last season our episode on feminism, and we started talking about third wave feminism,
right?
And how if you are a poor black lady, your brand of feminism is going to look very different than Gloria Steinem's,
certainly,
who had lived a rich and privileged life right. by anybody's measure,
and who didn't feel bad one bit by yelling out, "Well, screw it then, anyway." Well, you can afford to screw it; nobody else can.
You literally flew to Europe for your abortion.
Right. And then came back and said, my body, my choice.
Exactly. Here's the news for you, lady. Most people can't afford to fly to Europe for their abortion.
Well, and the people that you're marching with, these are women that are dying in alleys.
Exactly.
Dying in rusty back rooms because they don't have the money to fly to Europe to get...
Exactly, right? So, well, we're seeing that because, let's face it, for those social media influencers, mm-hmm. right... for those people, let's face it, I mean, I can't tell you for how many weeks people have been trying to show you the most shocking possible protest videos.
Right.
Here's this video of this white guy trying to start shit. You know, here's yet another video of a skinny kid on a skateboard busting out a window.
Right.
Here's a picture of a skinny white kid trying to get a crowd to turn over a truck. And when I say truck, I mean like a tractor trailer.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, no. Come on, guys. We need about 50 more people. Dude, what are you talking about? Y'all know, y'all gonna help me flip this truck. Help you? You're not doing shit but holding the phone. Well, yeah, that's why y'all are gonna help.
Well, yeah, but see, I was the wing commander in my junior ROTC class, and I'm gonna make sure that I get you guys all set up and nobody hurts their backs, and I'm quality control on this operation.
I'm squad leader in my Fortnite clan. I have leadership experience.
You leave it to the tactician, bitch. Get over there and let's flip this motherfucker.
You bitches, y'all are all support.
You, you're fat boy. Fat boy, you're the fulcrum. Get out of there. No, I read about this in science class. This is going to go great. Textbook was from Texas. What could go wrong?
But again, this is a money thing too, right? Because...
it's all money, bro, all the way down.
Well, if it drives clicks mm-hmm. to their accounts,
right.
then sooner or later, one or two things is going to happen. They're going to get verified, and I'm assuming Twitter is going to compensate them for the traffic. Or they're going to show up and have something like, you know, listen to my Spotify. Or,
oh, of course, yeah. Check out my audio drama. Check out my this.
You know, I take furry porn commissions or, you know, I draw D&D maps. Or
well, how many tweets a day do you see? Well, I don't really have anything to promote. So since this exploded, check out my Patreon. Okay, wait a minute. You don't have anything to promote.
But
what the hell do you have a Patreon for? I've been doing a podcast for 5 years. I don't have a Patreon one.
Dude. And real quick, I got to bring this up. There was this guy, right? So it's no secret on the non-show Twitter that I've been running a lot of virus graphs.
Fucking geek, yeah.
For literally the last 3 months. And I would show up. There was this guy that people would keep retweeting.
Oh, this is the In Todd We Trust guy?
Oh, no. That's actually this is a different guy.
Okay.
That's actually a Chronicle reporter. That's a totally different problem.
Okay.
But no, and people keep tweeting this guy. I want to say his Twitter handle is like Polymath or something like that.
Okay.
Political math. He's like, no, I've been running the stats on the virus and blah, blah, blah. So I showed up in his timeline a few times. I'm like, no, dude, that's actually quite wrong. You can tell because your results are crap.
Right.
And that should probably be the first thing that lets you know. And I showed up in his feed at least, you know, 6-7 times going, no, look, dude, this is how you should be doing it. And the dude would never reply to me, never anything. And then, I guess about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I found out why. It's because he will take his graphs and show them to people who are paid Patreon supporters.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, your math is bad and you should feel bad.
No, he's not feeling bad. He's getting paid all the way.
Well, this is just another example of how someone just saying, no, no, listen to me. I know. When the guy clearly and obviously doesn't, but just trying to hustle up that Patreon.
Right. But that's the thing, right? So, again, it's kind of the entire problem with the American culture as it stands these days, right? Everything that became... Everything turned inwards and became me, 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 me.
Right.
And then we realized that at the end of the me, 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 me rope is nothing but a fucking silent echo chamber... No signal, only noise, echo chamber.
Right.
And that's not fulfilling. So then how do we go out and validate ourselves? Well, we get more people to come in and add to the noise. I can't make it any more coherent, but I can make it louder.
And this is the theory of garage bands, and it never ends well.
No, well, I mean, well, every once in a while it ends well. Okay, I was going to say it ended okay for Nirvana, but if you're Kurt Cobain, it probably didn't. But no, I mean, there's a problem that we have to focus on, and the fact that kids will still go out and march with signs. Go ahead.
I'll have a buckshot salad, please. Wham!
Dude, all I can tell you is I got a Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain into the same episode within about 20 minutes of each other.
And you should feel terrible about that. Not accomplished. Not accomplished.
No, but at the end of the day, a lot of these people are searching for some kind of validation. They are sucking everything in that they can to try to find some validation.
Right.
And at the end of the day, as American citizens, the only thing that we can all agree that equals validation is money. And it's why I can't listen to my favorite podcasts anymore. Because the good bits, you got to pay to hear them. It's why I can't pull up the adequate research for some of the things that I throw on here, because I'm not going to give New York Times or Wall Street Journal $5 for the month so that I can download their dread.
Is there anything funnier than New York Times going, power to the people, but they're the paywall, bitch.
Exactly. Well, not to go back to a Christian Slater thing, right? But ideas want to be free. Information wants to be free. Can't stop the signal. Oh, but wait. Because, yeah, no, if Pump Up the Volume was today, he would be broadcasting from a shiny conference room in the Comcast building. He'd have a Patreon and a GoFundMe, and he'd have an Amazon wish list, and he'd have groupies out front.
Bitcoin wallet address.
Exactly. Here's where you could... Oh, and by the way, my Grubhub account is this, if you want to send me a hoagie or something.
Hoagie.
Well, wait, it's Christian Slater, so it would be, what, packs of cigarettes. Send me a carton of cigarettes and a Coke. Holy shit, was I trying to be Christian Slater for the first 30 years of my life?
That would explain a great deal.
Except for the hair.
Yeah. Yeah, it would partially explain the hair.
I even got the sunglasses back.
There's one more group that we've got to fucking...
Let's do it.
There's one more group that we have to talk about before we move on. As we've seen these protests over the last month, one of the things that we've seen on both sides is people accusing the other of attempting to discredit the movement.
These people are coming in and fucking up our peaceful protest.
Well, while you're bullshitting, we even had Art Acevedo, the chief of HPD, out there talking to protesters,
right,
going, look, let's go ahead and have a peaceful protest. If you see any of these skinny-ass white kids with skateboards
right,
trying to smash in windows, we're not about that. You let me know. You let me know, and we'll bust that shit up.
Right, yeah.
But don't you
get in there, yeah.
And it was actually, well, okay, so first of all, arguably a little racist.
Well, here's the thing. At some point in time, no, I you know what, not even I can go there. I was about to say something that was just, this would be perfectly from the heart, but not received well.
Yeah, you know.
I'm getting canceled. No, at the end of the day, sometimes you have to call things the way you see them.
Absolutely.
And here's the thing. In a situation like that, tension is high. Everyone's feeling the spirit, and it's very, very simple for one little spark to start a conflagration. So to sit up there and go, hey, listen, if you see a skinny little white kid in a ski mask on a skateboard, he's going to start some shit. Give us a holler and let us take a look. Don't you guys get involved in it. Because there were several videos of the protesters trying to stop the supposed Antifa folks that were breaking things and lighting it on fire. And when they would go to try to stop it, well, what happens? The police zoom in. Everyone gets pepper sprayed. If they're lucky, they get knocked about the head and neck with shields if they're not. Or, you know, a couple of them got those rubber bullets, right? Those less than lethal rounds.
Yeah, barely less than lethal is probably the key word there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But no, we one of the things that I've seen, of course, out on Twitter and on the rest of the internet, is I've seen literally both sides attribute that that riotous malignancy to the other side.
Outside agitators.
Outside agitators, right? Now, whether you believe that those agitators are because there are certain members of Antifa that are lunatics and just want to, you know, tear shit up and start a socialist revolution, or you're on the other side that believes that those agitators are right-wing plants who are attempting to discredit the movement.
Fucking Proud Boys.
Yeah, it's just Proud Boys in disguise trying to start shit. Yeah. You know, so people, you know, will refrain from having sympathy for our cause.
Right.
You're getting equal amounts of that from both sides.
So you would make the argument that it cancels out and just carry the fuck on.
I don't know if it does or it doesn't. I don't know how people read things. All I know is how I read things.
At the end of the day, if you're the guy whose shop is on fire, it doesn't really matter who said it.
Yeah. Well, that, when the trial comes.
Well, yeah. When it comes to the civil suit, that's going to matter. As a matter of fact, you might want to try to grab all of them and the city just because deep pockets.
Well, fucking A.
Not really deep, but compared to the kid with the spray paint can,
yeah, you probably deep do a lot pockets. Better. What are you going to do? Sue his parents? Get his trust fund?
So, there goes his first year of community college.
Oh, great. $200. Thanks.
Fucking awesome.
With this, I can rebuild.
Yeah, I was going to rebuild my shop, but instead I'll get a pair of Air Force Ones.
Okay. All right, we got 9 minutes. Let's try to sprint to the part of the show that you came here for.
So Christian Slater, at the end of the movie, what he was trying to... And then Tony Hawk swoops in. All right, so no, the whole message, the whole thing has been boiling up to this, folks. Get ready, because the rat is going to drop some knowledge on your ass.
Well, no, and again, I'm never here to drop any knowledge on you, because I don't have any. Most of what I drop ends up in cedar chips anyway in the bottom of my cage. But what we have to do is we have to look at this, and we have to realize that these tactics, these paid protesters, these indifferent protesters, these virtue signalers and limousine activists, and these places to be seen influencers, and these usurpers who come from outside are compromising the sincerity and the honesty of what a protest is supposed to mean and what it's supposed to be about. And I'm going to tell you, normally in this part of the show, we like to try to provide at least some indication, some hint, some inkling of a solution or a way to solve this problem. And I can be honest with you, I just don't have one.
Yeah, that can fuck right off. There's nothing there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen today.
Not that kind of show, bitches.
But somehow I think just declaring articulately the problem may have some merit and benefit in and of itself.
Well, because nobody likes to wallow alone, so we'll do it for the 7 or 8 people who listen.
So, yeah, fucking A. We'll make you 7 or 8 people miserable. Ha! Hope you enjoy it. Oh, speaking of which, hey, Alex, Barra, thanks for showing up, man. And of course, Araja, we still see you. Hi, Mark.
Oh, shit. Oh, man, I said 7 or 8. Okay, 4 or 5.
Exactly. So... Oh, and Tony, if you're there, I see you.
Tony!
So now, we've seen that protests can work, right? And that...
We've seen that things that have been protested about can come to fruition. The efficacy of the protest is still in question, but please continue.
Okay. Not to draw too much causation there, but okay, we'll go with that. So, once protest is compromised... by money or some other tangential, sometimes even parasitic cause.
Right.
That threatens the efficacy, the ability to persuade, the ability to be seen, mm-hmm. right, of those protests. And protest itself is one of the right to assemble is one of your First Amendment rights. And what we're seeing happen to protests is that they're becoming compromised. And when that becomes compromised, that right becomes less valuable.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, because let's face it, if a rich guy with enough money can just go gather up as many protesters as he needs and turns them loose in the streets, then that's a lot different than someone who has a sincere grievance, we'll call it.
Right. No, I mean, and the rich guy may have a sincere grievance. His unfair advantage doesn't extend to only things that aren't worthy.
Well, let me put it this way. If a millionaire says, you know what, we tax millionaires too much, and then he goes and pays 100,000 guys $10 to go march for him.
May be disingenuous, but that doesn't take away his, you know, the efficacy of it.
But you can clearly see the difference in the protest between 100,000 people marching for a cause and one guy with a sign marching for a cause says, and his sign says, I'm not rich enough.
Certainly. Certainly there's a difference. And so what it comes down to is the value of your voice in your and your ability to address your grievances with your leaders. It's a grand idea. It's a fantastic idea. I don't think it's been really possible since about the mid-80s. I think largely it's a current event topic and not really, you know, in the case of Black Lives Matter, they've existed for what? At least two presidential cycles?
Oh, yeah.
So how many times did they get together and try to do something to no real end? Most of them, right?
Easily, yeah.
Now, the George Floyd case was kind of the catalyst to get people moving. So,
well, no, keep in mind, it wasn't the case. There is no... They've been indicted, but they haven't been tried. There's been no case yet.
Well, no, what I'm saying is the actual act of the incident. The incident, right.
There we go, yeah.
That incident kind of struck everybody in the same nerve, and that's kind of what got people... Let's face it. I mean, CNN right now is coronavirus central. So it was a nice...
It's such a shame they're bad at it.
It was a nice 5 or 6 days of, you know, riot coverage just to get away from the coronavirus thing. You know, Fox News, of course, they love it. Right. Get something on fire. Get me a picture of something on fire, and let's get somebody in here to talk. You know, the pandemic of, what was it? Somebody on Fox News called it, we're suffering through two pandemics. One is a virus and the other one is stupidity or evil.
Oh God.
Or,
oh God, yeah.
Or whatever, right? But at the end of the day, your voice and your ability to address your grievances to your leadership is drowned out literally by everything else. You can send a message directly to the President of the United States.
He's not going to read it.
And you would have had more luck writing something on a piece of paper, crumpling it up, and trying to throw it in Abraham Lincoln's fucking wagon as he rolled by. You would have been much more likely for him to get your message. It doesn't matter. Even 100,000 people sitting in the mall out in front of the Washington Monument, it's a good-sized crowd. Hey, if you can get your garage band out there, set up and play for them. But it's not going to do dick.
Well, so, and again, I bring this up. The reason why we're doing this show today is, one, because it's an epistemological issue.
It's an epistemological issue.
It's an informational issue. How much of what you see of that protest is actually digestible, metabolizable, reliable information?
Right.
Right, as opposed to this sort of miasma of blurred causes and mm-hmm. a little bit of violence here and there. Right. So how clear is that signal in the noise? And can you get to it? But another one of the reasons that we did it is because this has this freedom to assemble, right, under this heading of free speech, also has an analog on the other side of that issue in that general sense of free speech, right? Mm-hmm. Because this whole bandwagon mentality, one of the things that everybody seems to be absolutely sure of, is that the Russians interfered in the 2016 election. The one thing that nobody is clear on is on whose behalf did they interfere,
right?
Whether it worked and who they interfered for,
right?
Right, because if you're Hillary stands, right, you know, you're over there going, no, they interfered for Trump, and if you're Trump stands, you're like, no, they tried to interfere for Hillary to sabotage Bernie,
but and I still won anyway, Trump. Yeah.
And I
just to let you know, there will be no episode 6 of this podcast because you just used the word Stan in a fucking sentence.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I've been extremely online lately, and I need to detox. That's okay. I'll drink a lot of Shiner. I will wash the word Stan out of my body.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I insist.
It will be a prostate-powered protest stream. That's But no, we're seeing this online, right? Because just in the virus shit that I've been doing, I've I have literally, for the first time on Twitter, started running into guys who I sincerely think are members of the 50 Cent Army. Chinese bots.
Right.
Actually, China. China's not so great at programming, but you know what they do have? A lot of bodies with nothing else better to do.
Well, and that's the thing. When people say Chinese hackers, what they really mean is like 70,000 people with an extra phone.
That's it.
Yeah.
And
well, they write scripts to get clicks on your shit. No, no, no. It's cheaper to just say, hey, every 30 minutes, click on this.
And what's funny is that they were so nakedly, obviously easy to spot that it's like, this has got to be a parody. This can't be. Oh, no, there it is. Oh, no. There, because every time I post something mildly sarcastic, like Winnie the Flu, you know, right. somebody shows up in broken English and go, this not China fault, this natural disaster. Dude, wait, what?
Natural disaster? Wait a second.
Well, yeah, no, in the sense that...
No, I know, I know.
Pandemics are... Which yeah. isn't a totally illegitimate argument, right? But no, what it is that these bots, these which are, right, the free speech analog to paid protesters... This is, if that is done for bandwagon effect, then those bots are essentially bandwagon force multipliers for public opinion.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's just adding to the noise.
Yeah, they're just ways to make you think there are more people who believe for or against a particular issue than there actually are. And that's, we've known for a long time that you can buy Facebook followers or Twitter sure. followers, and this is not... This is not remotely a difficult thing to do, nor is it even particularly expensive.
Nor is it particularly clever, but there's still a reason why they're sending dick pills and Nigerian print scams.
Exactly, because you only needed to work on a very
small stick with the fucking tried and true, yeah. If you shoot at 100 million people and only get 2%, that beats the shit out of driving Uber at night.
Well, and at a time in our history... Where the 2016 vote was very, very close. It was, what, 51-49?
I don't pay attention to that shit. It was
insanely close. Our Senate and our House are both ridiculously close right now.
Right.
It's like 52-48, and I forget what the House is, but it's damn close. Right. I mean, it's within 10%. And so when it's this close, you go out there with the bots or your paid protester or whatever in an attempt to influence.
Right, yeah, you nudge just one tiny little...
Because you don't have to nudge it much because right. the race is that close. Things sure. have become so polarized.
Well, and that's the problem, right? We talk about it all the time. The world got smaller, things got much more granular, and everybody staked their claim. So there's not... While you might be able to nudge the group opinion in one way or another... Everybody feels like they are just staunchly stuck to their thing, right? This is the thing I care about. Whether it's right to life, whether it's guns, whether it's speech, whether it's I have to wear a fucking mask, whatever.
This is my thing and it defines me.
Exactly, exactly. Yet somehow, a bunch of goofballs can send out tweets and nudge the machine just enough, to affect the change without making it tilt.
See, whereas me, I'm out there on Twitter bumping around going, I don't speak to me like I'm four and draw me a picture because I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So, you know, you talk about paid protesters. You talk about where you get your support from.
Yeah.
For 30 seconds, think about the fact that there was a 2-day-long celebration that a bunch of K-pop fans decided to register for free tickets to go see the president and not show up. And then every single one of them posted a 30-second TikTok video going, oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God, guys. I just registered for a scene. I'm not going to go. That's our country, dude. If you ever read about the last days of Rome and go, God, how does a civilization get there? Realize that that looks like high art compared to the way we're going to end. Staring at fucking NASCAR in an empty goddamn stadium. Rubbing fucking alcohol on our hands and deciding what floral dick print to put in our face mask. And we deserve to go down. So anyway, so Christian Slater then says... just for the record, the title of this podcast has... title of this episode has to have Christian Slater in it.
Dude, do your thing. Do your thing. I know you're going to name it. I know you're going to name it some thought-off shit anyway.
No, no, this season, I told you, this season is meaningful titles.
Oh, is it?
Have you looked at any of the titles, you rat bastard? You have not. You have not looked at a single title.
No, now that I think about it, I haven't.
Exactly. See, I got to do all the fucking grunt work around here. Carrying the whole goddamn world on my back. This motherfucker runs sound check, waxes poetic for an hour, and the rest is just self-flagellation while I go out and do all this.
Dude, it's hell to be you. It's hell to be you.
Telling you, man.
I would do more, but I'm just a rat.
Take a nation of millions. Take a nation of millions to hold me back.
So the reason we did this, and again, and you know, the case that I wanted to make, as we set it up in the bid, was that the information that you get from these protests has an epistemological value all its own, because it's how we'll know what we know, especially in a political landscape, right? And I know this show has been a little politics heavy, and I hope that we've done a pretty good job staying pretty much in the middle and not being too biased. But whenever we look at these protests and the things that are going on with them, we have to be very, very careful and very, very skeptical about what we see, knowing that all of those images are influenced, just the way those pictures are shot, just the way these things, some of them are just flagrantly staged.
Right.
They're flagrantly triggered and caused. So go ahead, and by all means, if you endorse the movements that we've seen around there, man, fine, go out there. Do that. Dedicate your time. Dedicate your money. Jump out there and make your difference in as much as you can. But at the same time, before you're motivated to action, make sure you take a good long look at what's going on and who benefits. And right. Make sure that you are going to benefit.
And the intent is not to tell you that these things are good or bad, or even to tell you what's real or not real. It's to encourage you to take a moment and look at what you're dealing with. Have the idea, when I'm looking at that shot on CNN, what is the motivation behind this shot? What did the rest of that scene look like? When you're looking at these Karen videos online about, you know, white women going apeshit, I've known a lot of white women, and they all go apeshit, I'll give you that. But understand what's going on. There was a lady earlier, was it late last week, a couple sat in a car at a gas station and filmed this woman for about 3 minutes as she kept circling, getting the wrong side of her car up against the gas pump.
Yeah, that was priceless.
And there was literally no malice in anything this woman was doing. This was just a woman trying to put gas in her car and clearly did not have a lot of experience in doing so. And instead of getting out and helping this woman,
they just filmed
her. They sat there and filmed it and laughed at her, and then the internet went apeshit. That's some woman went home that night. And whatever bullshit entertainment she consumes, within 3 days, they had picked it up and they had played this video that she had no idea was being taken. That's what we're talking about, guys. No judgments on what you do. Just think about it for a minute. Am I representing the thing that I think that I'm representing? Does the thing that I think I'm representing actually benefit me at the end of the day?
And that's it, because if you don't have good information, if you don't really know what you know, you can't make good decisions.
A rising tide lifts all ships equally and floods all the fucking houses.
Okay, we'll go with that.
And just for the record, this episode is the season of our discount tent.
Fucking A, I'm with that, man. I'm with that. I'm all about it. You want to wrap this up?
I'm going to wrap this up. All right, folks, that's it for us this week. Chances are we will have 2 weeks in a row of recordings, but just in case, if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Until then, I am still Thundersnow.
And I'm still the Wiggle Rat. We'll be here next week.
Peace.